Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Gun. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid. So is the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We've got a full house. We're also on the clock. We've got college basketball going off the board. We've got NHL hockey going off the board. Nothing wrong with some early NHL puck action. That excites Ron Rubber, a.k.a. Cam Stewart. What's going on, Cam?
Yeah, what's happening, Morenci? Got some college action. We got Iona and Quinnipiac going off the board. We got some conference tournaments. We got lots of things happening right now. Yeah, Rangers, Penguins. I don't even know what to do with that game. To be honest with you, after last night's beats with the Kings and the Montreal Canadiens, I'm just, I don't know. Maybe you could tell me.
Yeah, I got to say, Cam, actually, it's a little early for you to be rattled. We're 30 seconds in. We're 30 seconds in, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's just the way it goes, I guess. But yeah, it was, you know, rough night last night trying to recuperate today. I don't know what to do with some of these small conference games, but I'm on Iona. That's the one play that I made. I don't like laying 6.5, 7 points there with these guys, but I just think Pitino and this team, you know him. He's about the name, value. He wants his team to get in. I think Iona's a much better team than Quinnipiac. Hopefully they can get it done. Probably losing that game. I haven't checked the score yet.
They're up by 5 at the half. They're up by 5 at the half right now. I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think the spread, that game will come down to the wire. All right, I'm taking Cal State Northridge here. I think they're going to beat Long Beach. The Southeast Louisiana McNeese State, like you said, Cam, it wasn't a disaster for me last night, but, you know, I ended up betting 28 games. The juice adds up, bro. You know what I mean? 28 picks at like pretty much $100 a game. There were some more, a couple were 50 and 75, whatever. But in that range, you add it all up. I went 15 and 13. I ended up losing like $32 or something. I risked
for sure.
Like, remember I told you, like I had $1,300, $1,275. I put it all in, all of it, down to $25. I did it all night, bro. I kept on, I'm going to put this in. I'm going to play this. You know, I kept playing games all night. And, like, really, I played in the end. It was 28 games, Cam. I literally lost, like, $36 after all of that.
And,
I put all that research in, and it was like, well, I don't know, man. It was a 15 and 13. I got lucky with Vancouver coming back. We did well.
Yeah, you did.
You know, I got lucky, Cam.
You did. I got very unlucky. Very unlucky last night. Very unlucky.
Well, look, you won San Jose in overtime.
Yeah, big deal. Who cares?
So
the Kings
needed
that game. Yeah, well, no, it was a shootout. Lose that. And then the Kings have a goal. They take a lead. They disallow it. They tie it up again, and then they lose in overtime. It's just like a broken record with this crap all the time. Overtime shootout. It's ridiculous. But anyway, you know, you got to keep on trying, keep on doing what you're doing. It's just frustrating. That's all. You know, you do all this stuff and you sit there, you're winning the whole game, and then all of a sudden it just falls apart, like right at the end. But that's life, I guess.
You know this. You've been around long enough to know hockey, and you like to bet big money on hockey games. God bless you. But hockey is a crazy sport to bet big money on because of the randomness of it. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking it with the slumping Raging Redhead. Cam's beaten down. We're a couple of minutes in. Yesterday's in the past, Cam. Forget about last night. There's a full slate of hockey right now. So what are you doing with this game? Islanders. We got the Islanders and Bruins coming up, but we also have the Rangers in action right now. I played under 6.5 in this game. Alternate price paid... 35 cents to get it to the 6.5. Cab, I'm going under 6.5 in this game. What are you doing with this game?
Yeah, it's a tough game. The Pittsburgh Penguins have played the Rangers really, really tough. And the Rangers, they score the first goal seemingly, and then they come back. I kind of lean Rangers in this spot. I have them +1.5 in some parlays, Gabe, but it's very difficult. The Pittsburgh Penguins, I got to give them all the credit in the world, too. Malkin's playing better. All their stars are really stepping up. And Crosby, the last few games, look like he has in his rookie year. The question with them has been the goaltending and defense. But guys like Cody Ceci that they picked up from the Leafs for like nothing, a song. Pittsburgh actually has been one of the surprises this year. Everyone was waiting for them to tank, but they're too much of a professional team. The Rangers got to step up, though. They got good young talent on their team, and I think after losing to Pittsburgh the way they did over the weekend, it could be a good revenge spot.
Well, one thing with the Pittsburgh Penguins, we've seen it, and normally it's a coaching change that'll shake things up. It was a very strange situation in which the players have definitely responded to the change, and I think you know, we can go with the low-hanging fruit and talk about, well, Burke comes in, he's intense, and Hextall, and it is true. Burke had no connection to anybody. But I think what it was, Cam, one of the reasons, look, Rutherford quit, right? He didn't get fired. Rutherford just said, screw this, I'm out. Why did he do that? Because he went to ownership and he goes, listen, it's time to start breaking this thing up. I want to start trading people. And they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I guess it was Chris Letang, of all people. They were like, slow down, man. We're not trading anybody right now. Slow down. And Rutherford said, listen, do I run the team or not? And evidently he learned, no, you don't run the team. He walks. The room knows this. They know now, all right, listen, guys, they wanted to break us up. Burke will break us up. Let's dig down deep. You know, I'd like, you know, I wish I knew exactly, you know, the million reasons why, but there's definitely been a change since then. There's no disputing it. They got better defensively. Malkin has improved his play, knowing that Burke is watching him. Donnie Wrightside joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, kicking it with the Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart, SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, digital video, TV platforms as well. All right, we got a full house, man. Dave Sharapan's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. We've got the turf nerd, Andrew Anderson's going to join us, former PGA and LPGA caddy, steps up and in. That's his Twitter handle, turf nerd. So, he's going to step up and in. He's a turf nerd. He loves grass. So do I. I'm a turf nerd too.
Yeah. So grass is great.
Big turf nerd here. Donnie Wrightside likes a good cigar. Donnie Wrightside steps up in it. He likes a victory cigar, but even better. Yes. What's going on, Donnie? Yes. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, guys. Well, happy to be back here on Tuesdays and talk. But I do enjoy a good cigar. And finally, in the Northeast here, we're actually getting some weather where I might be able to walk outside and smoke a cigar. But late last night, 2 a.m., I'm watching Pepperdine and BYU, and I needed a jump shot at the buzzer to force OT to get my team total. It's March Madness all over the place, but I know you guys watching each and every game. There was some pain yesterday out there.
Dude, I had over 144.5 in-game, Donnie. In that Pepperdine game, that shot sent it to overtime. I won with it. And what a play by Colby Ross. What a play by Colby Ross. A lot of players, Donnie, would have forced a three. Tried to be the hero, forced a three. You saw? He's like, no, I'm going to beat this guy off the dribble. Nice and calm. Clock is ticking. 1 second left. Don't worry about it, guys. I'm good. I see. Nice, smooth jumper right above the free throw line. And that's on Romar at the end of the game, bro. That's on Romar at the end of the game. How the hell is the ball not in Ross's hands? Ross never got the ball, right? There was a last chance at the end of the game in overtime. Ross doesn't get the ball, and two other kids touch it and turn it over. That's a very simple play where it's like you hand the ball off to him, he walks up the court, and you do new school NBA. Everybody else stands there, and it's go time, kid. Do your thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trusting two other kids to get him the ball. It's like, no. You inbound him the ball, and then, Kobe, you go and do what you just did 2 minutes ago again. Right? So, nevertheless, we move forward. So, listen, we're stacked. Donnie's going to be on after with Kevin Walsh on SiriusXM Channel 204. I made the mistake of betting against Elon yesterday. I tried to get cute. I'm jumping back on the wagon today, Donnie. Give me Elon plus the points.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that? I'm on the same side with you, but on a team total in this one, checking out the way it stacks up. Obviously, Drexel has a pretty good offense in that division, in that conference play, but I'm looking at Elon. I thought this number was really cheap. I'm actually going a team total over 63 with Elon tonight. I think the game will be close right down to the wire. It's a one-bid league. You're going to get a lot of fouls at the end of the game. I think they can extend it. That's a cheap number to look at because if the three-pointers are going down for Elon, they will be able to hang around in this game. I'll take that cheap number. I'm with you. Elon with a great chance to upset it. But I'm just going to take the team total saying they're going to be in the mid-60s or higher tonight, Gabe and Cam.
Hey, Donnie, I'm
over
not sure.
130 and a half.
I think I might go over that total, too. And it's weird. A big steam movement with Drexel. Like, I understand Drexel's playing really good, but I expected this line to be more like -1, and it's up to 3.5 on FanDuel. Donnie, if you got an opinion on Mount St. Mary's Bryant, if not, we'll just move on to our Gabe and our favorite conference, the Horizon League. You got anything for Mount St. Mary's Bryant before? Okay,
no,
good.
Oakland. I do not have anything.
Oakland, Cleveland State. What a wild ride we had yesterday on the show. Marenzi and I were both on Cleveland State. They get it done at the end of the game. Oakland, man, this team just keeps on grinding and driving and winning against teams that are on fire. Donnie, what do we do with this Horizon League game? Cleveland State's laying 2.5 and the total 141.5. I kind of like the way Oakland's been playing.
No, Oakland has been playing well also, but when you take a look at Cleveland State, I was the same thing with you watching it play out. At the half on FanDuel, it was +136 as the money line to take Cleveland State. I said, I'll sign up for that. In the beginning of the second half, through about 10, I said, man, what? I just lost money. What a ridiculous wager. And then you look up at the screen, and here they come charging all the way back for a victory. I'll go Cleveland State. I think Cleveland State can win this game tonight. You know what's interesting? That over-under 141 seems a little bit high to me for this type of game. I actually like the under in this game, but I think Cleveland State can prevail in this one as well. I'm just happy they won yesterday out of nowhere, and we've seen that. Last 5 to 6 minutes of games, all of a sudden, a 3-point, 4-point blast. There you go. I'm going to stick with Cleveland State in this one, but I'm an over guy. I'm going to go under in this game.
You know, a lot of these, I got burnt yesterday with the Northern Kentucky, Oakland over, and we saw Cleveland State stay under as well. These Horizon teams are generally over teams, but they're not great teams, and it's pure street ball. It's pure street ball. Like, they slow it down a lot. Each possession becomes ugly. Kids take bad shots. They make bad decisions. And it's really fun, though. Like, the Cleveland State-Milwaukee game last night, it was great. It was just like dudes in the park going hard at it. But you're right. You need a clean ride in these title games. And the Horizon, I don't know, they're just not really good enough to get that clear. That's a tough-ass game. We've been riding. I don't have a choice, Cam. Got to take Cleveland State, but I don't know. I almost get the feeling like Oakland's going to win. Why is this 2.5? Every year, Cam, there's some team that's 13-18 that makes it, and now it'll be Oakland. They'll be 12-17. They're going to make the stupid tournament.
It's tough to gauge, guys, because both teams have had, like, winning by the string of their teeth. Like, you know what I mean? And usually that builds character. Gabe and I talked about that in Juan Dixon and the Maryland Terrapins run to the national championship. Correct. They got a big scare early, and after that, they took care of business. But both of these teams, all these games have been razor thin, Donnie. Gabe, you got to stick with your team. The Cleveland State Vikings are your club. And I think in this final game, I think I'm going to go with Cleveland State, too. I'm not touching the total.
All right, BYU and Gonzaga tonight. So BYU got all they can handle from the Wave last night. I'm kicking myself for not loading up on Gonzaga. I even said on the show last night, they'll win by 23 or 24. No, don't take them. Oh, I start betting totals and stuff like this. They win by what, 78, 55, 23. God, I'm an idiot. So I think they smoke them tonight again. I think they'll smoke BYU. Gonzaga sort of have to beat people pretty good to prove like they're justifiable one overall seed and everything. And BYU, quite frankly, just aren't that good. I'm more of an underdog better, as you know, Cam. And normally I'd be like, oh, man, you're getting two touchdowns here, Donnie. I don't know. Gonzaga probably wins by 17 or 20. What do you think?
I would agree with you on that. And also, the one thing I was a little bit scared about taking Gonzaga last night, we were looking at a first half number like 10, 10.5. I thought that was the better way to go. But you're also looking now at Gonzaga. They want to stay fresh for the tournament, yes. But this isn't a Sunday game with a, you know, one of the big conferences where you only get a couple days off. You're now going to play the championship game tonight, Gabe, have over a week off. They're going to play their full squad all the way through to make sure they get enough minutes in there. But I'm actually looking at the dog side of it with the team total. I'm going to go with BYU's team total over 70.5. I do think they get beat up pretty good, but Gonzaga was hanging around that 84.5, 85.5 number, which was just a little bit too high for me. I think BYU can hang around. If you take away the St. Mary's games here, Gabe, in conference, they average 81 points a game, and even if you take out the overtime games that they went where they put up some numbers, BYU still averages 78 points a game. I'm looking at a team total for BYU. They can get into the 70s in this game, even with a blowout.
You read my mind, Donnie, and I was talking about it last night as far as Gonzaga in game too with team totals. You look, they average 92.7 points a game, nearly 93 points a game. Yeah. As you stated, Donnie, you take those St. Mary's games out of the equation, they scored like 86 or more in 11 of 12 type thing. They generally they took the pedal off the metal last night. St. Mary's slowed it down. They got complacent at 78. BYU have more offensive pop, Cam, right? BYU can pop a couple of threes. They got bigger dudes. They're still going to lose, but they have the capability of putting up more points on the board. I tell you guys, a total, and Donnie, I've been riding this, and I hit it last night, and I hit it in game. We hit both these games to the over last night. Oral Roberts went way over the number, and North Dakota State, we got 30 seconds. Fun game tonight. I'm betting the over again, but I think Oral Roberts beats them. 30 seconds, Donnie.
Yep, out in the Pentagon, you got to take the overs last night. They had a huge second half, both squads. I look for the same thing tonight. That's a wide-open conference, a lot of three-point shots going down. Yesterday in that Oral Roberts game, South Dakota State didn't even have a three-point shot made six or seven in the second half. Take the over.
Thanks, Donnie.
Thanks, Donnie.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get the time decision to continue. SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. I'm Morenci, kicking it with the Ranger Redhead, Cam Stewart. All right, so we're going rapid fire today. We got a full house. We also have a big golf tournament. We're going to get back to all of our picks for tonight. Dave Sharapan's going to step up and in. We got a million hockey games going on, including Rangers and Penguins. Looks like it's still scoreless right now. Let's talk some golf right now. Let's bring in former LPGA and PGA caddy Andrew Anderson. Steps up and in. How you doing, my man?
How are we, boys? Thanks for having me on. Excited. We got the Players' Championship this week at TPC Sawgrass. Plenty of good action out in the golf this week, that's for sure.
You know, I'll tell you what, there's plenty of value on the board as well if we can get the winner right this week. Normally, guys, you look at a golf tournament and, you know, you got your favorite at 6-1, 7-1, 8-1. And, you know, everyone else 10-1, 12-1, 14-1, 16-1. You look at this tournament, boom, man, we started 12-1. We started 12 with Dustin Johnson. DeChambeau, 17-1. John Rahm. John Rahm, a.k.a. Wolf Blitzer. John Rahm, 17-1. I bring it up. Wolf Blitzer, Andrew, of CNN. You know Wolf Blitzer, right?
Yeah.
The guy with the white beard. So during the Tiger Woods day, you know, he was all serious, and it had mainstream news guys talking about golf. So, and he goes, we have statements coming in from around the golf world. PGA Golf Pro John Rahm says, I'm like, come on, man. Somebody tell him it's wrong. Somebody tell him it's wrong. But Rory is 18-1. Rory's actually the defending champion. He didn't play last year. Nobody ever repeats here. Seems to be the history, guys. Thomas, 19-1. Cantlay, 20-1. I'll throw it to you guys. But something that I stumbled across here. There's been a first-time winner here every year since 2013 when Tiger. Seems like you don't repeat, and new guys that haven't won here before have won. Andrew, I'll start with you. What's your take on the tournament this week?
Boys, who does this course suit? No one. It's a very tricky golf course for all the players. It's a Pete Dye design. So look, we need someone who can strategize their way around a golf course and who's hidden it well, especially approach to the green. I love JT, Justin Thomas at 19-1. He's had a bit of an interesting year, but look, his game is well suited to this golf course. He's a great iron player, great short game if he does miss some of these tricky greens. And another guy up there with, you know, tremendous value this week, Patrick Cantlay. Now one of the form players in the world. They've got him at 21-1. He's got no weaknesses in his game at all. So look, I love those two for this week. Hit fairways, hit greens. You can't overpower this golf course. And I think they're some very good value for us.
I can't believe it, Gabe. I was just literally picking the two guys, and he picked exactly my top two guys. I like Justin Thomas and Patrick Cantlay to battle each other, and I have a little bit of John Rahm in there, too. I think he is well-suited for this course. Let's talk about Rory, as Gabe mentioned. You know, defending champ, and remember, they stopped this tournament after the first round with the COVID, right, Andrew? So it was a really weird situation. I remember going, wow, the players, and they said, no, we're done. But Rory's getting really, really close, Andrew, but he's a hard guy to trust. And watching last week, he was in contention again, and then he just put two balls in the water on the hole that Bryson at the six, where everyone's out driving. He tried to get too cute and cut a corner. Now he's hitting five. Like, if Rory can find a way to not have that blow-up hole, he could be there. But there's just something missing. What is it, Andrew, with this guy?
Well, you know what? He used to be well-known for how good he was approach to the green. Last week we saw him. He's missing shots short and long of the green from within 100 yards. Now, someone at his level, you can't do that. That's absolutely trash. Rory McIlroy, he looks a little distracted. Look, he's swinging it good, and he's driving it, you know, almost as good as Big Bryson, but he's got to get his head back in the game. And for me, he just doesn't look like he wants it bad enough on a Sunday. But if he can get those shorter shots dialed in, you know, get a bit of that Rory McIlroy killer instinct, there's no reason why he couldn't fare well here again.
I just couldn't help but laugh out loud when you said that's just trash. God, you'd be horrified to see my golf game.
I wish I could put it in.
You'd be horrified. You'd be horrified to see my short game.
You'd be like total trash. You know, when Rory did win in 2019, who finished second? Jim Furyk. Now, that's two contrasting golfers. Just for a bit of insight, when you are betting this week, it could be a short hitter, a long hitter. Yeah, don't discriminate against any of the old dogs or any of the shorter hitters. You need to be on your game this week for sure.
You know, Cam, we brought up Cantlay. You talked about it. So they got one round in last year before they shut it down. They tried to push the envelope when everyone else was shutting everything down. Then they realized, this is a bad look.
Yeah, we
better shut this down. But Cantlay opened up with a 67, guys. He opened up with a 67. Yeah, Cantlay definitely in a mix. You guys talked about John Rahm. I like John Rahm here. I think he's in a mix. So what do you make of this, Cam? I'll throw it to you first. We'll get Andrew's take on this. I guess it's the unofficial Bryson rules. The PGA Tour announces that in the interest of safety, volunteers and other personnel, it would be instituting an internal out-of-bounds area on the 18th hole of TPC Sawgrass for the Players' Championship. DeChambeau was not cited, but the rule was clearly put in place after the winner of the Arnold Palmer Invitational talked about trying to drive his tee shot over the lake on the 18th hole.
This guy.
Cam? I like for the interest of safety. What do you make of this, Cam?
I got to be honest with you. It's kind of – I usually don't take Bryson's side in this type of thing, but whatever, man. Like, half of the time I'm looking at the marshals, they don't even know where the ball is anyway. You know what I mean? The guy's sitting there having a coffee, cracking jokes with his buddy, and they're off by, like, 30 feet. It's like, really? But as for Bryson DeChambeau, Gabe, here, I don't know. Like, he overpowered the course last week, and it worked for him, but I just don't know how long you could play that card. He also got very lucky, Dubs, as you understand and watch, a couple feet from being out of bounds a couple times. Should have gone in the water, ends up just short. Should have gone dead right in the fence, lands just before the fence, catches a break. This guy's got a lot of golf luck right now. So as for that, Gabe, I don't think that really will come into consideration, but Bryson DeChambeau is a guy, I wouldn't say fade him, but after last week, I'm not sure if you could put that performance back-to-back winning and at the Players. But, Andrew, I do want to ask you, what old dog, like somebody out of the mix, not in the chalk, like over like 30-1, do you like? Like Lanto Griffin's playing pretty good. Can Lee Westwood do it again? Who's a guy that we can take a flyer with?
Yeah, I love Lee Westwood, but I don't think 2 weeks in a row, you know, he'd be exhausted after what he went through last week. Look, a guy, he's not an older fella, but he's a South African player who I keep harping on about, Christian Bezuidenhout. It's his first time at the tournament, but he's doing all the right things. They've still got him at 85-1 outright. And look, if you're looking for, you know, a good value play, I think he's at +110 for a top 40. I mean, the guy doesn't know how to miss the cut, but we still keep seeing great value with him. I don't have him to win it, but I definitely have him within my top 40. I think that's one of the best value picks all week. But, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, he's at +140 for a top 20. He's a guy who does very well at this track. Again, he hasn't won on the PGA Tour. I don't see it being this is the one for him. But, you know, there's some good value out there with the prop bets this week as well. Tons of great options for us.
What about Xander Schauffele at 24-1? I know he doesn't win, but there does seem to be random winners here. And Victor Hovland, who last week started off hot and then just things fell apart for him, man. Completely fell apart. But you've seen this, Cam, and in betting, and Andrew, you know, because you don't want to bet on a guy that won last week or played well last week. You almost just discount a guy. But oftentimes, it's almost like the UFC. Once a guy loses a fight once, people are like, oh, he sucks. And people, like, they don't trust him ever again. And it's always like, so Victor Hovland fell apart last week, Cam. No one's talking about him this week. It doesn't mean he's going to fall apart this week. Hovland's still a great golfer. What about Hovland this week?
And I'll ask Andrew, too. And Hovland, you know, Andrew, the thing is, that was really rare. But I think that's a combination of being close so many times. And once he realized that he wasn't going to be there, he just said, okay. Like, you know what I mean? He just had one of those meltdowns. It happens to everybody, right? Like, he wasn't thinking, maybe I want to still get that top 20 paycheck. He fell apart. And that course played tough on the weekend. You saw it played 5 strokes over par. It destroyed guys. So, Gabe, I think Hovland, for me, I'll ask Andrew's opinion. It's just a matter he's playing a lot of golf, but I think he'll be refreshed this week. I think that was just an anomaly.
Yeah, I think he will. He's a fantastic player. And look, he's so aggressive. He just doesn't know how to play it safe. And that's the only thing which has held me back this week. There's water and bunkering in every hole that could bring him undone. Look, if he can be patient enough and pick his spots, then he'll fare well. I just think he's a little too aggressive on this one. I want someone who's going to play a chess match this week, like Webb Simpson did when he won it. Just someone who plots it around, scores very well in the par fives because they're all very short this week. So that brings a lot of those guys into play. But yeah, just be patient with it. Have a good strategy with your caddy. And I think that's what's going to see you do well come Sunday.
Doesn't this bring Spieth into play then, guys? Because I always hear, well, Spieth doesn't fit on this long track, doesn't fit on a big hitter course. You're talking
his driving,
about getting through the course. I don't know, Cam. He keeps racking up. He's got 3 top fives in the last 4 weeks. 3 top fives.
Gabe, his short game is the best short game since Seve Ballesteros. He gets out of danger more times. Like, this kid's in jail. He breaks out. He's got a key in his mouth. He's got one in his shoe. I don't know how he does it, Marazzi. This guy's hitting it 50 yards off, and he's like, hey, Jordan Spieth, what an approach. From the rough to 10 feet. He's unbelievable. He's like Houdini. He might win at the Masters. I think the Masters is his calling.
I mean, he's got that X factor. I'm president of the Jordan Spieth fan club. I love him to bits. I had him last week in the win. But look, I'm just going off his past track record here where he has missed a few cuts. So for some reason, I don't think it suits his eye well. You know, you don't have to be great off the tee this week. So it might force him to leave the driver in the bag, hit fairways. And look, he's one of the best iron players on tour. Love to see it, boys. Yep. Love to see Jordan make a run this week. Maybe it's the time.
All right, hold on, Andrew. We'll have Andrew hang around for a couple more minutes just to get a couple of final picks from him. But is Tony Finau ever going to win? Well, Tony Finau.
Top 20. Yeah.
Could be a minute, boys. Could be a minute.
You'll make money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking up the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, Andrew Anderson joining us as well. right now. All right, so let's just go through a couple of more golfers here. And Billy Horschel, Cam, somebody that I see lives 15 minutes from Sawgrass. He lives 15 minutes from here, plays here all the time. It's his home course. It's his home course. I'm not saying he's going to win this thing, but I'm definitely going to be looking at Billy Horschel here as far as the top 20 prop is concerned.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. Horschel's a Florida Gator. He takes a lot of pride playing Florida golf. He was great. 2 weeks ago, he finished second, let's remember, and he was like at a big price then. He wasn't, and now we're getting, what, 85 to 1? That's insanity. I do like the top 20 dubs, but about Horschel, you know what the problem, Horschel? He's a streaky guy. It's like all these guys who are really emotional, are, that's what he is. Like when he's on fire, he can go really low, but when the wheels fall off, he gets in his own head because he's kind of like me and whatever. Sometimes he gets too emotional, and that sucks in golf. You got to be calm, right? But Billy, I like the top 20 pick by Morenci. What do you think about Horschel?
Plus 320. Yeah, that's what it is.
He's always a solid pick. Playing Florida golf, grew up on the Bermuda. I like Billy. I think he peaked 2 weeks ago at concession, and, you know, it's hard to back it up and keep the momentum. So, look, for a top 20, that's a good play. I don't think he's got the juice to win that.
Of these top 20 prices are pretty attractive. John Rahm, top 20, is minus 130. Rory is minus 130. Dustin Johnson is minus 145. We haven't talked about Dustin. You guys sort of, you know, we overlooked him. Andrew, what are your thoughts on Dustin?
You know, best player in the world right now. No questions asked. He'll be, you know, there or thereabouts come the weekend. I don't like the value on him at the minute. I think, you know, there's some other guys who I think will do better on this track in particular. DJ's playing well. He sort of went backwards when we last saw him in his last outing, but good play.
Hey, listen, you guys love the sentimental story, Cam. Jim Nance waxes poetic. Dustin Johnson, first tournament since Walter Gretzky passed away, right?
See, that's the thing.
Did this for Walter and Wayne. Hey, guys, did this for you guys.
You're right, Gabe, and I thought about that too, but I'm not sure how it's going to go with his commitments and stuff, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, I think it could go either two ways. He's inspired, you know, him and the Wayner, they get it, and he really, really, you know, digs deep and wins. Or I think he has commitments to the family, the Gretzky's and everything else, and kind of his mind is away from golf. So I think he's a real wild card this week, and that's at 12-1. I'm not the type of guy to take a risk because I don't know where I don't know where his mind's at, right? He can win, though. Like, even Dustin Johnson at 70 or 80%.
Didn't you see that? Him lighting it up and saying after, this is for Wayne and Walter?
Come on. For Walter. I agree. But I just don't know. Like, the thing is, I think he's probably had a lot of commitments due to these things, Gabe, and it's a really tough field. You're going to have to give me more than 12-1.
I bet your Patrick Reed wins because I took him today. Last week, I had a 20.
Patrick Reed.
Tonight, you know what? Every damn week, it's the same thing. I bet on Patrick Reed. He misses the cut. I say, suck it, Patrick Reed. He wins. I don't know what to do. I almost have to take this guy. I don't even like him, but I have to take him.
He must be watching the show. He must be watching the show and having a laugh. Look, you need a good short game to get up and down here. I don't have Reed doing well here. He hits a sort of right to left ball. I don't think it's well suited to the course. Look, a young guy to keep an eye out for, and he keeps trending in the right direction. Will Zalatoris, I've still got him at plus 220 for a top 20 finish. That's a young guy who's come off the Korn Ferry Tour. He's on the PGA Tour now, and he's making top 10s, top 20s. Yep. Fearless little fella. He's got the complete game. So good value on Will Zalatoris.
Fearless little fella. I like fearless little fella. But I will say this. I'm going to tell you, Andrew, and I watch a lot of golf, Gabe. Like, when this guy stands over a putt, Andrew, I get nervous. His putting is, his ball striking is world class. It could be, like, top 10, but his putting needs a lot of work. Like, he misses short putts left, right, and center. He'll put you in orbit. He's like Hideki used to be.
Yeah, he was dabbling with some other putting group on the weekend last weekend. But, you know, these young guys, they've got short-term memory. So he can have a bad day with a flat stick, and the next day, you know, Bob's your uncle, ready to shoot 62, like nothing happened. That's what you want. Short term memory is great for a golfer.
What about Corey Connors this week?
Had a good outing last week, Gabe, but you know, I tend to say it's hard to really maintain 2 weeks of good momentum for a sort of top 10, top 20 finish. So I'm sort of fading on Corey Connors. look, he does well when you've got to hit the fairway. This week, it's not that crucial to hit every fairway. So I'm not really big on Corey for a good finish this week.
Yeah, Corey Connors, I hate to say this because, you know, you want to cheer for a Canadian. Like, his putting, it's holding him back. Like, it's actually concerning, Dubs, because he was there. And he missed, like, 6-footer, 8-footer, 10-footer. Gabe, when Westwood was battling DeChambeau, Connors was right there. And that's the difference, like, I'm noticing. This is what separates JT, Dustin, all those other guys. They can hit Rahm. These guys can hit that 10-foot pressure putt. Where guys like Zalatoris and Connors, that's what separate. That's why they're 80-1, and these other guys are 15-20-1. It's short game and putting. It's all it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And horses for courses on a lot of these PGA Tour courses. He's well suited to a course like last week, where you got to hit the fairway. Correct. There's a lot of trouble left and right, and that's why we saw him excel and have a good week. I think Corey, put the feet up this week, mate, and enjoy your time in Florida. But I can't see him here late on a Sunday.
Cam, I know you're a big Kokrak fan. Kokrak, 95-1.
He's my guy.
Kind of screwed me last week, too. I took him top 20 last week. Molinari, another one that imploded last week. Yeah. Molinari's 130-1. Kokrak is 95-1. All right, Andrew, so before we get you out of here, give us three plays. Give us three plays on the way out three here. Plays. Then we're going to walk in here. And me and Cam are both going to bet $500 each on each play. Let's go. What do you got?
That's timid, boys. I've got Justin Thomas at 19-1 for the outright win. I like Christian Bezuidenhout for a top 40 at plus 110.
Love that play.
And if you're looking for maybe a cheeky bet up on FanDuel, they're offering a bogey-free round. Webb Simpson at plus 470, Mr. Consistency. You're welcome.
Ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting one. Because you've got to be
What's in Dub's golf bag? Some crazy exotics. That's what.
How come you don't
I gotta ask you one more. I know. That's a good point. I'm like the golf guy. I don't come up with that stuff. Dubs, that's why you're the new golf guy. What about Morikawa quickly? A lot of people I'm watching Golf Channel right now. People, they love him. Like, is this? Yeah. Do you think he can do it on this course?
I think he can. All the stats say he's going to have a great week. I just don't think he can keep the putter hot enough, as it was hot 2 weeks ago. That's sort of been, the biggest weakness of his game. I think he'll do great. I just don't know if he can go on with the job. But fantastic player, and all the stats say he should have a good week.
Andrew Anderson, great stuff as always, Andrew. Thanks a lot for stepping up and in and showing us what's in the bag. Great stuff. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, boys. Have a good one. Have a
good one. Good stuff with Andrew. Looking forward to this. Going to be a fun tournament. So checking in with the basketball right now. Iona's rolling, Cam. Iona is pulling away. 59-37 with about four minutes left. So they're up 22. This is not good news for me. Long Beach State are drilling Cal State Northridge right now. And Northridge just don't have the offense to come back, I don't think. They're down 44-24 right now. It's 1-1 after 20 minutes of play between the Rangers and the Penguins, which isn't terrible. I got under 6.5. Yeah. I guess it's sort of right there. Still a sweat job. Looks like I'm digging a hole to start the night tonight.
Yeah, it's
dig
okay. dig in a hole. That's the game song of the night. I will say this, though, as you've seen in these hockey games, man, anything can happen at the end. Goaltender pulled, wackiness. So, you know what, Gabe? I still think, actually, in a 1-1 game, I think they're probably going to try to tighten it up a little bit, right? You don't want that other team to get that next goal. So I still think that's in play, the under 6.5.
I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm ready for some pucks tonight. I went 2-2 in hockey last night. Lost two games, Ken. Two games in overtime and shootouts. So I had the Kings who lost.
Yep.
And I had the Blues who lost. But then I had the Canucks. Yep. So I was 1-2 with that last night. I don't know why I'm going back to the well with this hockey. I like hockey totals. I was looking for some under 6.5s today. Can't find one with that Boston Islanders game, unfortunately. But what are your thoughts on that game, actually? Boston, and then I tell you what, Cam, the Bruins are struggling right now. What are they, 3-6 in their last 9? They always lose to the Islanders in this building for whatever reason. But they've lost three times in a row to these guys. They've got to win this game, don't they?
It's so funny you mentioned that, Gabe. I was thinking, and I was just talking and dissecting this game, and there's a lot of angles for Boston tonight. Also, another angle is take a look at all the teams that have played Buffalo afterwards, because Buffalo's so soft, they lose their next game. I've been tracking it as an angle. It's kind of a weird angle, but it works. So trust me, that's how bad the Sabres are. And the Islanders played three games against the Sabres. It's going to be a nightmare playing Boston instead of Buffalo. I think you talked about it too, the revenge factor. Islanders have swept them this year. I like the Bruins in this spot. The coach isn't screwing around. They sat DeBrusk. He's like, dude, you're not working. You're sitting. So this team means business tonight. I think the Islanders could be in big trouble.
Well, the Bruins have been struggling as of late, right? They're grinding a little bit. At first, we just sort of thought it was like, all right, the Devils. I'll tell you what, the Bruins, like the Devils and the Bruins, the Devils like have these guys. like I don't know if it's matchup thing. I don't know if it's a matchup deal, and you talk about the Islanders as well. Basically, the Bruins have been terrorized by the triplex, metroplex area, Ken. The
exactly.
Rangers, Devils, and the Islanders, they're like the only ones that, like, they've ruined the Boston season.
I can't believe you said that. That's exactly what we did the show. I know. It's unbelievable. We did that serious show game on Saturday night, and that's what I told Blessing. Go, don't you find it ironic that the only teams Boston lose to are New Jersey, Islanders, Rangers? Remember what the Islanders and Rangers did back-to-back? They beat them 7-2. Like, they didn't just beat them. Like, they smoked Boston. Boston loves playing every team. Like, oh, when's Toronto coming to town? We'll deal with the Leafs. I have no idea. I have no idea, though, Morency. One thing that makes no sense, I don't know how the Devils got their number. Like, it just... Some things, you know, sports, some teams just beat teams for some reason. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, but I like Boston to get some revenge tonight against the Isles.
So this year, guys, the Islanders have beaten them 7-2, 4-2, and 1-0.
Yep.
And in reverse order. So they play January the 18th, 1-0 Islanders.
Correct.
February the 13th, 4-2. February 25th, 7-2. That's the one that smarts. I remember that. Remember that game was tied 2-2 after two
it
games.
Was.
Right? I remember that one. So if you're Boston, you lost 7-2 last time, bro. You gave up 5 goals in the third period to these guys who own your ass. Every hockey pundit in the world brings up, oh, the Bruins can't win at Nassau Coliseum. Oh, the Bruins have to be the Bruins. Thing is, Cam, I thought the Bruins needed a game the other night and they didn't get it done. Needing a game doesn't mean you're going to win a game.
Exactly. It's tough, though, but I think this is a good spot for Boston to get right. Islanders have been feeling good about themselves. It's a pick 'em. I'm on Boston.
I want to take the under, too.
Maybe, yeah. You know what I won't be taking the over, that's for sure. That's a tough one. Oh, boy.
It's five and a half. Alternate line, that way. 6, maybe.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabe Morency, kicking it with the Raging Reddit. Cam Stewart. All right, we're on the clock right now. We have a ton of hockey games coming up, but we have until about 7:08 or so. I think they dropped the puck. FanDuel is saying 7:10. I think they dropped the puck at 7:08, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it usually say 7:08, but whatever. So we have time to get to that. College basketball, a little bit different. Games coming up right now at the top of the hour. And I made a mistake, full disclosure, it happens, in which I got cute, and instead of riding Elon Cam, who had won 6 games in a row outright, I was like, you know what, this is where the party ends, and I was wrong. But with that being stated, I watched Drexel last night. I watched that game, because I had Northeastern, and Drexel are okay, bro. It was more so Northeastern aren't very good. Not to take anything away from Drexel. The kids try and they compete. But Northeastern were terrible. Like, they had bad shots, bad decisions, missed free throws. And they were the top seed, too. It was like, dude, like, what the hell are you guys? Like, they were really bad. Elon or one of these teams on a roll. I think this game comes right down to the wire, bro. Northeastern came down to the wire. They didn't play well. I'm taking the 3.5 points. I'll get it up to 4 with Elon. And I'm going to go over the 130.5 here, Cam, in this game. Mount St. Mary's and Bryant, pass.
Pass.
I'm not betting every game tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, what about Oakland and Cleveland State?
You know what? I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm not. It's not going to be a huge play, but we've ran with the Cleveland State Vikings. They've been loyal, and we're going to show our loyalty tonight. I know Oakland has been amazing, but I think Cleveland State can beat them. It's -2.5. You take them on the money line. I think they understand this is it. We win, we get into the tournament. Give me the Cleveland State Vikings to get it done. Should be a great game as Oakland's playing great basketball as well.
Yeah, Oakland, man. He's got that Team of Destiny thing going about him right now.
I know. It's frustrating. I don't know. Cleveland State, I'm going down with the ship.
Oh, me too. We're taking the Vikings. Norse.
Norse.
Yeah, taking the Vikings.